Thursday, 21st of May, Chosayin Eir, Rabbi Avraham Porchim, Megillas Rus.
Megillas Rus opens up by Hibu Meish, Koit HaShoiftim. It wasn't the time when the Shoiftim ruled by Yerov, Baaretz. Things became desperate in Eretz Yisrael. Yelechish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda Logo Bistei Moyov. And the name of the person is named the next Pasuk Ali Melech. Went together with his family, who Ishto Ishnei Bona went together with his family to Moyov. Shem Rish Ali Melech, Shem Ishto Nomi. His name is Ali Melech, his wife's Nomi, and his two sons, Machloin and Kilyoin, went to stay Moyov. In Pasuk Dalet, Vayisulhem Noshi Moyavios, they married Moabite women, Shem Achas Orpo, Vashem Ashin Isrus. Ayeshu Shom Kesa Shonim, and they lived there for many years, for 10 years, and then Ayemusu Gam Shnei, Machloin and Kilion also died, like Ali Melech did. In the Targum it says that the reason, it doesn't say in the Pasuk, and it doesn't say in Rashi, why they died. But in the Targum it says quite clearly, V'obra Gzeiras Mimra D'Hashem, because they broke the instructions of the Almighty, and they took Goyish women, they married Goyish women. And because they broke the instructions of the Almighty, and they married Goyish women, their days were cut short, and they died, Machlin and Kilian died in Moyov. Sounds pretty clear from the Targum, spelt out that their punishment was for marrying Goyish women. In the Gemara Bava Basra and Sadi Aleph Amud Beis, it also seems to be pretty straightforward that their punishment came for marrying Goyish women, Moabite women. Because the Gemara there is discussing a discrepancy between the names of Machlin and Kilian on the one hand, as they're recorded here in Ruth, and it sometimes happens in Divrei Yomim, they're described by different names. Yoyosh v'Sorof, Eilu Machlin v'Kilion, says Gemara. Yoyosh and Sorof is actually Machlin and Kilion. Loma nikra shmon Yoyosh v'Sorof, why they called these different names. Yoyosh and Nisyashu min ha-Geula, they got so desperate that things are going to get better in the famine in Eretz Yisrael that they gave up and they went away. And Sorof, Shenischaivu Sreifal Amokoim, that they were Chayv Misa, Shenischaivu Sreifal Amokoim, and then the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim goes on, Asher Boalu Lamoyov, which Gemara says, Shenosu Noshim Moyavios. If you look up the Gemara over there, there's more than one level of interpretation there. But all the same, it seems quite clearly from this Gemara that their punishment came, that Shenischaivu Sreifal Amokoim. Another raya, a third raya, that they seem to have married these women without geiris, is the fact that the Gemara learns out later, the Gemara learns out in Yevomos, from the Psukim later, all the dinim of geiris. As we know, when after Machlin Kilian had died, and the time had come for perhaps Orpah and Rus to go back, and Nomi asked them whether you're going to go back to where you come from, so please don't pressurize me to go away. This famous pasuk, I'll go where you will go. So Rashi in Rus springs from the Gemara in Acholitz in Yevomos. All the rules about how to accept a ger or geiris. So we tell them some of the oinshim. Medin loy miktas oinshim. Osulon lotis chutzet chum, osulon lisyach in the kebim zocho, amenu moved on in sharamim, etc. From the dialogue between Nomi and Rus over here, you can see what was discussed between them. And then finally, v'atereki misametzasil olechesito v'atechta ledaver eleho. When she showed that she was really extending herself and straining herself to go with Nomi, then Nomi stopped pressurizing her, and we learn from there that Rashi says, you can't put too much pressure on a ger, and when you feel that his application is genuine, then you don't pressurize him too much. So all these halachas, Gemara learns out from the way Normie spoke to Rus at this stage, all right, after Mafla and Kilian already died. So the Mashmoas is that the Geirus had not taken, no Geirus had taken place yet. So we've got three proofs. One was the Targum, one was the Gemara and Bava Basra, and one was now these Rashis from the Gemara and Acheleit. Seems quite clear that they were never misgaya from before. But this throws up some questions which will make any person's hair stand on edge. First of all, Chazal describe Machlon and Kilion as Gedoyle Hador or Parnasei Hador. They were looked up to, they were leaders of a generation, they were looked up to before they went down to Moab, they were looked up to in the community, the people who, to whom we look up. And we have a Kabbalah, you know, in the Mir, that any person who's mentioned in Tanakh and is mentioned in any way positively, we've got to try our best to preserve their reputation and not to allow any mudslinging take place and say, ah, yeah, they let us all down, all the rest of it. We've got to do our best to see, to try and be miyashiv, to try and understand what went through these people's minds. So if they were Gdoyle Ador, how could they possibly have gone to marry a non-Jewess? How could that possibly happen? Secondly, you should see in the Rambam the way it's described, Aboyel Kutis Gilin Nischatin L'Avodah Zarah. It's as if you've married into Avodah Zarah. It's not like you just snatched away a girl. It's as if you've married into Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam says, Yesh Bei Hefzer She'em B'Cholayor Ha'aroyas Kamoihu. Rambam says, don't imagine that because there's no Mises based in on the Issa Boel Aramis, that it's any less than the other Isurim, the other Royas and so on. On the contrary, says the Rambam, there has Hefzer She'em B'Chol Aroyas Kamoihu. And if there's no Kanoim available, Boel Aramis, we learn Kanoim Poigim Boy from Pinchos, if there's no Kanoim available, then the Chayov and Boel Aramis is Chayav Koris, says the Rambam. So how are we supposed to understand that Machlon and Kilion should have gone into such an arrangement here and taken Goyshe women who the Rambam says you could hardly do worse? That's the first question, is that it's just not Oyla La Das to suggest such a thing. They should have married Goyshe women like that. Second thing is, the Rambam says that just like I have a halacha. This might sound a little bit odd, but just like you have a halacha, somebody who slept with an animal, that animal has to be put down, because since a takola happened through this animal, therefore has to be put to death. So the Rambam says that if we're in charge, in place where we're in charge of a boel aramis, then Yisrael ba'al kutis afilu pnuyo hi neregis. She should be put to death. Shebol Yisrael takola al yodo. And the Rambam brings a raya from the Benois Midyon, when we were in the desert, and we had a takola through the Benois Moav and Benois Midyon, and then we went out to battle in Parshas Matos. So when we came back from there, they brought the girls back with them, the ladies back with them. Moshe Rabbeinu was just out of his mind. He says, what, you brought that Hena? Are they, these are the people who caused us the whole takola. So all the women who were of age, they were all put to death. All the Midianite women were all put to death. Because, so the Rambam used that to prove that Bo Yisrael Takol Al Yodo, and they have to be put to death. So therefore, Rus and Orpah would have been prime examples of women who would have had to be put to death. Okay, so we then have a base then down there to sort this out. But, on the other hand, why was Boaz so friendly to her then afterwards? If she's a persona non grata, and really she should be out the back there somewhere, so why are you giving her so much friendship when she comes back to Beis Lechem Yehuda to the Boaz? Boaz was so kind to her and so on. Talking about Boaz, so that was the second question. The second question was that surely they're Chayav Misa, these Jewish women. The third thing is, Boaz, whatever you want to say about Machlon and Kilion, Boaz, without question, one of the tzaddikei ador of that time. And he wanted to be goyel the family, lahokim shem lames. He wanted to set up some sort of continuum, like one does in Yibum, some sort of continuum for the family of Machlon. Now, if you say that their marriage was never valid, do you realize how ridiculous this is? If the marriage was never valid, which means that Machlon married Rus when she was a goiter, then the marriage wasn't valid. So what are you trying to give a continuity to? Nothing happened over here. never really married. If they're never really married, the Machin never married Rus. So Rus, so what is Rus? She's nothing. So why is Boaz coming to trying to beguile the family and build up some sort of Lahakim Shem Lameis, some sort of continuation for the family of Machloin, if they were never really, if never really had a valid marriage? Which is quite a strong question. That's question number three. And the fourth one is based on a Rambam. The Rambam says, the Rambam's talking about leaving Eretz Yisrael. A person finds himself in a situation where they need to leave Eretz Yisrael. So on what conditions are you allowed to leave? So if the famine is very strong and it's hard to find food and so on, and the Rambam lays down exactly to what degree the famine has to have hit you that you might have had to leave Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam assumes or took on that if Machlon and Kilian left, and we said that they were tzaddikei ador, parnasei ador, gedolei ador, is it? So if they were respected, they wouldn't have just quit in the middle. So they must have been under great strain. So the Rambam says that if you're under all that strain and you have to go, so you have to, when you have to go, you have to go. But it's not midas chasidus, he says. He says it's not the nicest thing to do, even if you have to go. And who's he bringing a raya from? He says, midas chasidus, that you should not, ein lotes merit Yisrael chutzor, it's gam b'shas harov. That it's not the nicest thing to do, even if you feel that you don't know how you're going to manage, it's still not a good thing to do. It's not midas chasidus. And what's the raya? Sharei machle mikilion shnei gedoi l'ador you. Look at them, look what happened to them. They were gedoi l'ador, nischaibu al-kach kloi el-amokoim. Al-kach, for this, for being over this midas chasidus, they were gedoi l'ador. They shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have left Eretz Yisrael. And they did. So, and that's why, according to the Rambam, that's why they were chayv misa. She nischaibu misa, she overall midas chasidus lazo of Eretz Yisrael. B'shasarol. So that because of this midas chasidus, they put to death. Look, if you're looking for a reason why Machlon and Kilian should have had their life short, and especially according to what we've described now in the last 5-10 minutes, then they were either one of the worst averis in the book. Yes, he did. I know. Not everybody was so pleased about that. If you look in the Ramban, you see, not everybody was so pleased about that. So if you're looking for a chet for which they should have been chayv misa, surely we've got it all laid out here. If they went to marry non-Jewish women. Now, if that's not bad enough, so that's four questions altogether. Okay. One is how could they have married a goyish woman? The second one was that if they bought akol al yodom, they should have been chayv misa. What was Boaz doing trying to? And fourthly, why does Rambam say that they were blameworthy in leaving Eretz Yisrael, and that's why the Chayv Misa, if they seem to have done much worse than that. Now the Bach wrote a sefer called Meshiv Nofesh, and he brings a Medrash HaNe'elam there. And the Medrash HaNe'elam, it seems, not quite like we've been saying. It goes one step further. There was a Rabbi Pados who asked the son of Rabbi Yosi Ish Soichoi. Rus, eventually, we know that she was Misgaya. So why didn't they give her a nice Jewish name? Why did they still call her Rus? So Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yossi Yishsocha, answered, Kach Shemati, that Rus was her Jewish name. She had a different name before. Shemacha Hoyelo. She had a different name before, which we might see a little later on. She Nisis Lamachloin Korishimov Rus. And when Machla married her, he decided that he's going to call her Rus. And that's when she started using this new name of Rus. This is all in the Medrash. This Medrash spells out quite clearly what seems to be to the contrary of what we learned before, that Machloin, when he took Rus, he actually was Magaya. But later on when Rus had the discussion with Naomi, and Naomi was trying to push her away, and she declared, "Ami velekayech elokoi." So you can see there that that's when she seems to be accepting the Geirus, and that's where we learned all the halachas out of Geirus. So Harba Astroes Osonomi Gedetani. And we know that Nomi tried to push her away and gave her many warnings about all the different things that she'll have to take on. But Kulon Kibla Ale, and she accepted all these things. Bimniskara Koil Mulachain, if she was already a Gyoiris right back when Machlan married her, Lamala Hashta Kulai, why did Nomi have to put her through all these questions and under so much pressure if she was already had adopted Judaism as her religion already when she married Machlan? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef ben Ishoch's son said, Chas v'sholom shenosa Machlan v'hi goyah. Don't imagine for 1 minute that Machlan married Rus as a goita. Elkos shenosah nisgayra. When he married her, he was megayah her over cheskas imas bala omdo. And in those days, for sure, a woman went into marriage, she adopted the complete lifestyle of a husband. There was none of this, I'll bring curry into the family, you carry on eating your kartoffel salad. Once a woman got married, she adopted her husband's lifestyle right through, from all the way through, including the milchik and the fleishik washing up towels. So she was under the authority of her husband, and she adopted Yiddishkeit, and he was megayah. But Orpah nami b'ninze, and Orpah did exactly the same thing when Kilian married Orpah. Same thing. She adopted. He was megayah, and she became a Jewess, and they adopted a Jewish lifestyle. Now, what happened after the husband's died? So, given Shemesu Baalein, when the husband's died, all in the Medrash. So, Orpah went back. Orpah chozor l'sulchono. Orpah went back to her old ways. T'chsiv hinei shova yevim teichel amav el elahel. As we know, Naomi spoke to Rus and says, look, your sister-in-law has gone back. She's gone back to her old people. She's gone back to her old gods. So, since it says shova, that means she went back to what she had before. She went going back. That means that in the between time, she had adopted the Jewish way of life. And now, after her husband died, and after she separated herself, so she went back to her old lifestyle that she had before. Whereas, on the other hand, Ruth, she was Dovka Ba, Britzoino Dovka Ba Tera. So she held on to what she has been doing until now. She held on to her Yiddishkeit. Anyway, we haven't solved the name situation yet. So Rabbi Pados says, could you tell me about the name? Do you know anything about what her name was before? Marshmon Bitchila, what was her name before? Yeah, her name was Gilis. Gimel Yud Lamed Yud Tov. Her name was Gilis. And Kishinosa Machloin, she was renamed as Rus. And Orpah also, Orpah was called Horpah before. And when she went back home, she went back to her old ways, she took back her old name of Harbon, she went back to her old lifestyle, she went back to her old religion. To go back to her people and to use the name that she used to name, she was named in her earlier life, Harbon. She went back to her gods, which means Lavad Avodah Zorah. And Ibn Ezra on that pasuk says, since it says Elamo Velelahel, that shows you Le'ed Sheniskayru, that in between she was loyal to, as we understand it, to Yiddishkeit and to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as loyal as she could be, under her husband's authority. But after her husband died, she went back Elamo Velelahel, she went back to her old people and to her old religion, but in between time, says Ibn Ezra, quite clear Sheniskayru. That's all in the Medrash. It seems in the Zohar Chodesh, I'm not a rogel there, but it seems in the Zohar Chodesh also, it says quite clearly that the husbands were Megaya them when they married them. Machlan and Kilian were Megaya, Rus and Orpah when they married them. So, are we just to be satisfied and to say, well, what can you do? You know, you've got a Machlekes here, you've got two different shittas here, one said they were, one said they weren't, and that's the end of the story. That would be easy, and you could go home early. But the Bach himself tries to blend these two shittas together to explain exactly what happened over here. And he says like this. He says there's no doubt that Machlan was a tzaddik and that he was Megaya Rus before he married her. But the way he puts it is, however big tzaddik he was, he probably wasn't a bigger tzaddik than Shimshon or Shlaima. So Shimshon, who also says about him, it says about Shimshon, says about Shlomo was called Yedid Hashem. It also says in Tanakh that they married Goyish women. It says Shlomo Melech married Sidonios and Moabites and so on, that he married all these different the different nationalities. Now, we're not going to suggest even for one moment that when Shimshon married her, or when Shlomo married these wives, that they married them as goiters. Not even for one suggestion. When they married them, there was no doubt that they were Megiah them. The question is how they were Megiah them, but they were certainly Megiah them. Now, the point is that these women, when they married because they're marrying, if you're marrying the king, Shlomo HaMelech, you know, so the motives there might have been a little bit suspect. In other words, didn't Shlomo HaMelech's wives marry Shlomo HaMelech because they had this great love for Yiddishkeit, and they wanted to convert to Yiddishkeit because they saw this as the great ultimate truth? Or did they marry Shlomo HaMelech because it was a wonderful time, first of all, you're marrying the king, you're becoming the, you know, become the wife of the king, and it was also a wonderful time, one of the most beautiful eras in Jewish history in Shlomo HaMelech's time. So their motives might have been a little bit suspect, whether they were Nisgai L'Shem Shemaim or they were Nisgai Estam. And also, it seems that it was not Alpi based then. The Rambam writes, Al Yale Al Dadcha, don't imagine for one moment Shimshon, Hamashias Yisrael, Shlomo HaMelech Yisrael, Shnikri Did Hashem, Nosu Noshim Nochriyos Begeyuson, that they should have married Goyisha women as goiters. Impossible. Don't even think about it for one second, says the Rambam. L'Soid HaDova Kachu, Shamitzvah Nochinok, Shovageh Yeris Lizgaya, that you've got to check out what their motives are, and they've got to go through. It's not because they want to marry a nice Jewish boy, and it's not because they want to get a good position, or get a position of influence, and it's not because they're afraid that they're coming in to marry. And if it's a man, we've got to check up, hasn't got his eye on anybody. Okay? Now, im noy nimtso lahem ilo, if there doesn't seem to be any obvious ulterior motive, then we tell them the various rules as a Rambam, and im kiblu v'loy pirshu, and if they accepted it, and they stayed with it, and you can see ultimately, as the years go on, that they've embraced Yiddishkeit completely and that they're loyal to it, then Mekabli Moison, then he doesn't say the years go by, I just put that in. Im Kibbu V'loi Pirisho, even after the pressure that we put on them, they still show that they're insistent and they want to embrace Yiddishkeit. Then Mekabli Moison Shenema, like we saw from Rus, Vateiraki Misametzesilo Lechesito. Okay? So, what we're saying over here is that Machloim was like Shimshon, it could be classed like Shimshon and like Shlomo, and they took these Goyish women and they were Megiah them, but the way they were Megiah them still leaves a little bit of a question mark as to how strong that Geirus is. It's not a complete yes and no situation. It's a situation which still is going to develop and reflect itself as the years go on to find out how valid that Geirus really was. And the Rambam goes on to say, so Shlomo did that. They had an ulterior motive, a loyalty based in Girim, and also it was done in a sort of ad hoc way, and it wasn't done through the official offices of the Beis Din. Therefore, through the eyes of Shemayim, it's still not called 100% Geirus. It's still lost on the Rambam. So Choshvan HaKosuf Ilu Hein Oivde Kachomim Uvisura Noimde. So even though it might be a valid Geirus, and we will accept them in the community because the fact is that they've adopted and accepted Yiddishkeit, and that they're under whatever it is, they're under, we said, Amos Balam Aleihem and so on, and they're doing all that they're supposed to do, and they did do a Kabbalah mitzvahs. Nevertheless, through the eyes of heaven, since it was done not through the offices of Beis Din, and since there was a motive, so through the eyes of heaven, says Rambam, Ki ilu hein akum visurano imdim. And added to that, says Rambam, Shechiach soifon al tchiloson, sheinoib deskechob mazole shalhen. We know that Shlomo HaMelech's wives, that later on they built bombers and they served the Avodah Zarah and so on. And that's all part of the Rambam till there. So that shows that their acceptance of the mitzvahs wasn't like through and through. It wasn't complete. So, by way of summary of the Bach's approach over here, he's saying, based on the Rambam, that even though for practical purposes the Geirus was a Geirus, nevertheless through the eyes of Shemayim, since it wasn't like 100%, and it wasn't completely done as it should be done through the offices of the Beis Din. And since we also see later that they didn't hold on to their mitzvahs properly as they should do, therefore through the eyes of heaven, it's not considered as a strong or proper gerus. And that's why the Pasuk still describes it as that they'd married Goyish women, and that's why the Targum says that they were punished for going into this forbidden union. So now the question is, there are one or two little things which still need to be tied up over here, and that is, one of the things we asked was that depending on how valid that union was, what was Boaz doing in redeeming the family and considering Ruth as to be the daughter-in-law of Elimelech? And we also asked, what was Naomi doing? What was Naomi doing when she was going through the whole procedure of Gerus if she was already in this guy before? So there's a sefer called Madani Shmuel from Rav Trovitz, who's a poisek, Rav and a poisek in Rishon Letzion, and Rosh Shiva as well, in case you need to know. So he says like this. He says that after their husbands died, which we said Amos Baalem Aleim, there's no question why they were married to their husband. They were doing all the things they had to do. So now Naomi wanted to see how genuine that original Gerus was. Is it going to carry through or not? So she put her through all these questions. She asked, she told her all the mitzvahs kalas and mitzvahs chamuros and so on. And she tested her to see whether she's prepared to, you know, to bite through and to take everything as it really is. It's one thing, you were married to Matlin and you did everything you're supposed to do and you had your milk and your flesh, your dish towels and so on. But now, there's no husband there. How much you really want to become Jewish? How genuine is it? So she put her through all these trials and she tested it out over here. He brings from the Gemara, Mr. Avtrovitz brings from the Gemara, there's a machlekes, nisgai l'shem ishus, if it's a valid gerus or not. If we know that somebody became a ger just because for marriage purposes, if it's valid or not, and the halacha is, we pass on like the rabbanon, it's machlokes, because they're passing the rabbanon, they're all gerim. And the ritva says in the name of the Ramban, the Enyubomus, that you can't become a ger unless you makabal all the mitzvahs, b'lev sholem. So if there's this ulterior motive, so where's the b'lev sholem? So the ritva says in the name of the Ramban, that we assume that if she got married l'shem ishus, there was a kabbalah, a complete kabbalah l'shem mitzvah. So now we need to know how it turns itself out in the end. What will be in the end? So the Achiezer paskens, if we find afterwards that they did not really embrace the Torah, they did not accept the mitzvahs, ein zeh klal geirus, the Achiezer paskens, it's not a valid geirus. It reflects back onto the beginning. But whereas, and we saw that in the Rambam that he says that Sofom Machiach Al Tchiloson. So that's what Naomi was trying to do. She was trying to find out, not from now on, whether she's prepared to accept Gerus from now on, but the Mafreya, whether the Gerus which she accepted right at the beginning, is that a valid one, or was it not a valid one? So she put her through all these tests, and she survived, she passed the test. And having passed the test, so we say that the Gerus was a complete Gerus right from the beginning when Machlan married her, therefore she was a proper daughter-in-law, and that's why Boaz, accepted and married her in order to redeem the family. I think that's where we're going to stop.